Jeremiah chapter 19. We're getting close to the end of Josiah's life. Although Josiah really isn't mentioned much, these chapters are given in Josiah's lifetime. But that will shortly come to an end. And then he has three sons and a grandson that sit on the throne after him. I call them the final four, the last four kings of Judah before the Babylonian captivity. And in about Jeremiah chapter 21 is where we start picking up in their lifetime, and we'll consider those chapters. Have to think about what order we'll do that, because the from Jeremiah chapter 21 forward, they're not all in chronological order, so we'll see how that goes. But today, chapter 19, show and tell with a brittle bottle. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you gave through the prophet Jeremiah to Judah and to Jerusalem, and now to us. I pray for ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand not only what you have said, but what the application is to our own lives. Teach us by your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember, last week in chapter 18, we talked about soft clay. It was on the potter's wheel, fell on the floor, lost its shape, but it could be remolded again. Well, when that clay hardens and it becomes a piece of pottery, a clay pot that has been baked and hardened, if it falls, it doesn't just lose its shape. It breaks into pieces and becomes absolutely worthless. And then in that little ditty that we have for children, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put it back together again. It's useless. In chapter 18, there still seems to be hope, because Israel is likened unto softened clay that is moldable. But now in chapter 19, there seems to be no hope, because God likens Israel to a hardened, brittle bottle that will purposely be broken and made into garbage. Chapter 19, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there these words that I shall tell thee. The ancients of the people and the ancients of the priests. The word ancients was used in two different respects. One having to do with those who are older in age, and two, those who were in positions of responsibility, high level positions. Now, one of the reasons the word ancient applies so aptly to both of those is because generally it was the older folks who were in the high positions of authority. Very rarely would you have, back in those days, a young person, unless he was the king, in high positions of responsibility. There is a cliche that we use sometimes today, old enough to know better. Jeremiah is told to take the ancients of the people. These are the older folks. And those who have been leaders and in positions of responsibility. And the ancients of the priests. That is, those who were the teachers back in those days. The priests were actually the scribes and did the teaching. And they were old enough to know better than to be doing the things that they were doing. Reminded me of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 that says, "When for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become of and have need become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink, strong meat." Sorry, where that came from? Strong meat. Made me wonder if Jeremiah lived today and he was to gather together the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priests, who would that be in the United States of America? Well, likely it would include the 535 members of the two houses of Congress and the 9 members of the United States Supreme Court. And I suppose it would include the university professors who taught them. Interestingly, the king is not included here, probably because Josiah, remember, had a heart for the Lord. And this is a message to people whose hearts were very hard towards the Lord. Perhaps the king would be included today. I don't know. You think? How different would things be if men were not filled with the bias that comes from liberal academia? Do you know there are false prophets today, not only in the church, but in our country? There are all kinds of false prophets today influencing political decisions. I came across this article that made me realize how serious it is. It's entitled Noah, that's not the Noah from the Bible, the N-O-A-A, that's some kind of weather, National Oceanic and whatever it is, that weather thing, that Noah. The title of the article says, "Noah fiddles with climate data to erase the 15-year global warming hiatus." You know, for 15 years, the Earth has not been warming. The data shows it. What this article says is that the fellows at Noah went back prior to 15 years and actually changed the numbers and put them down. Then they went into the numbers for the last 15 years and actually changed them and put them up to make it look like global warming was still happening. Now, I'm not going to read the article to you, but basically what it boils down to is there are two ways they take, there are a number of ways they take the temperature of the planet, but two of the ways they take the temperature of the planet has to do with the warming or cooling of the ocean water. And they take temperatures of the ocean water two different ways. They take temperature from the ships, where the ships have intakes where they take a lot of water in from the ocean and help cool the engines as they move across the ocean. And where they take in this ocean water, they have temperature gauges, and they read these temperature gauges. The other way they read the temperature of the ocean water is with buoys. B-U-O-Y-S. I think that's how you spell it. Those little things that bob on the water. Now, the temperature on the buoys tend to be cooler than the temperature on the ships, because of the heat of the engines near the intake. So they don't like the temperatures from the buoys. So what they did was they went in and they adjusted all the temperatures from the buoys to be closer in harmony with the temperature with the ships. They actually changed the numbers to tell us that global warming is happening when it isn't. That's false prophet. And then the government takes that data and makes political decisions based on that false information. Well, that's not entirely dissimilar to the way things were back in Jeremiah's day. Because there were lots of false prophets who were telling them everything is okay when it isn't. There are false prophets today spouting evolution, false prophets criticizing traditional marriage, false prophets promoting political correction in speech, false prophets telling us the economy is fine when it really is not, false prophets telling us it's okay to smoke marijuana. It'll actually be helpful to you. A lot of false prophets going on today, and it's affecting the way people in authority do their business in government. So he is told to take the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priests, those who were in positions of responsibility, and those who had taught them, and he's take them to the Valley of Hinnom. Now, the Valley of Hinnom was a place where they had sacrificed humans to idols. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3. In the days of King Ahaz, in the days of King Ahaz, it says, moreover, he, the king, burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. 2 Corinthians chapter 33. 2 Chronicles. I'm having trouble with my words today. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 6. In the days of King Manasseh. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now, here's what had happened. When Josiah became king, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 10. 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 10. When Josiah became king, he was cleaning up all the idols in the land. He was getting rid of all of the idols everywhere that had been constructed. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 10, and he, that is Josiah, defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. So Josiah went in and he trashed the place, the Valley of Hinnom. He trashed it so that nobody would be making any human sacrifices in the Valley of Hinnom. And this is where Jeremiah takes the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priests, and they're standing there looking out over the Valley of Hinnom, where in the days of King Ahaz and the days of King Manasseh, human sacrifices have been made to idols in that valley, and now it's all trashed. It's not being used for that because Josiah is king. But while Josiah was able to remove the idols from the land, he was not able to remove the idols from the people's heart. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 5. Second Chronicles chapter 36. Verse 5. Jehoiakim. Now, Jehoiakim is the second of the final four, and he is a son of Josiah. Jehoiakim was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Then drop down to verse 14. In the days of Zedekiah, the last of the final four, the last king of Judah, also a son of Josiah, it says in verse 14, moreover, all the chief of the priests, those ancients of the priests that Jeremiah had out there looking out over the valley of Hinnom, The chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had allowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and had on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against the people, till there was no remedy. That's what Jeremiah is going to talk about in Jeremiah chapter 19. But before we get back there again, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Okay, so Josiah died. His sons and his grandson do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, all the way to participating in all the abominations of the heathen, even polluting the house of the Lord. Again, after Josiah had cleaned it all up, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 1, this is in the days of Zedekiah, the last of the final four, where it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Drop down to verse 34 in the chapter. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom. They're right back there again. So they had committed human sacrifice in the valley of Hinnom. Jeremiah takes, Jeremiah chapter 19, now Jeremiah chapter 19, Jeremiah takes the Congress and the Supreme Court and all the university professors, the priests and the ancients, the people. He takes them to the valley of Hinnom, and it's trashed. And he says, this is a warning. You know what was done here. You better not do it again. But unfortunately, God knew they were going to do it again. Jeremiah is issuing a warning to these people. Jeremiah chapter 19 and verse 3. It's a startling warning. God says in verse 2, I want you to tell them some things. And so here's what I want you to say in verse 3. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. The word tingle has the sense of quivering in fear. He had used the same term back in the days of Manasseh, king of Manasseh, 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 12, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. The idea of the ears tingling would be similar to standing And not realizing that there was thunder and lightning in the vicinity, and having a lightning bolt strike within feet of you, do you think it would startle you? And do you think it would make your ears like... The term we would use today is thunderstruck. That's the idea. Shocking! Unexpectedly shocking. This news that he is about to give these people is that when God's wrath comes upon the nation of Judah, it will be shocking. And people's ears will tingle. Here's the reason that he's going to do this. Verse 4. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place. Pointing to the valley of Hinnom where human sacrifices were offered and will be offered again after Josiah dies. They have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. This didn't come from me, God says. It didn't come from me at all. It came from your own imaginations. Josiah had broken down all of the physical altars of idolatry. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 33, Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. So it looked like they were doing the right thing while Josiah was king. But go back to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 10, and I remind you of this. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Josiah was the king. He said, you have to worship God. So they said, well, he's the king. He said, we have to worship God, so we worship God. We don't really want to. But if we don't, what's the king going to do to us? He's the king, right? So he says, well, this is the law, so that's what we do. But God says, you haven't really turned to me with your heart. Chapter 5, verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass, though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. He says, I'm the one that set the boundaries of the ocean. Why do you think the oceans stay where they are? I'm the one that sets the boundaries of the ocean, and yet you won't fear me? You see what tremendous power I have in creation and in controlling nature, but you won't fear me? Verse 23. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They're revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. No, it doesn't matter to us what God is capable of doing. We're not going to fear him. We're not going to turn our hearts over to him. Josiah may make us worship him, but we don't have him in our hearts. So Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 6. And remember what's going on here. Jeremiah has a small group of people, not the whole nation. He has the leaders. standing there looking out over the valley of Hinnom. Right now it's trashed. Had been used to worship idols. And he's saying to these people, I know what's in your heart. You've been stopped from doing all this stuff down here in the valley of Hinnom. But I know you can't wait to get back down there and do it again. Because you're only pretending to have turned to me. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 6. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place, this valley, this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. You see, God's going to turn it right around on them. And the very place they had used to kill innocent children, God will use it to slaughter those who worship false gods. And here's why it will make people's ears tingle. Verse 7. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one of the flesh of his friends in the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies, and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. What he's talking about is when the enemy comes and lays siege to the city of Jerusalem, the people will actually turn to cannibalism to survive. Doesn't that make your ears tingle? Isn't that shocking? If God gave such a clear warning, you see what this valley was used for. Are you really going to do that again? Are your hearts so hard that you cannot hear the wrath of God is real? Now remember, Jeremiah's been standing there with a bottle. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 1, go and get a potter's earthen bottle. This isn't the soft clay now. This is the brittle bottle. And he's been standing there holding this bottle while he's telling the people all of these things. And God says, now that you've said these things, I want you to take the bottle and break it. Verse 10. Then, after having said all of those things, thou shalt break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. So here are all these members of Congress and Supreme Court standing around and the university professors. And Jeremiah takes his bottle and he throws it on the ground and breaks into all kinds of pieces. Verse 11, and he says to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one break of the potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city, pointing to Jerusalem, as Tophet, and the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Here they are standing at the
Valley of Hinnom, it's been defiled. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 10. Josiah defiled it so that it could not be used for worshiping false gods. Now, God says, because you refuse to turn to me with your heart, I'm going to defile your city. And I'm going to bury you all in the Valley of Hinnom. Having delivered this horrifying message, verse 14, Jeremiah goes to the temple. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house, and he said to all the people, now he takes the message to all the people, first to the leaders, then to the people. And this is a very different message from what is being preached by the false prophets. The false prophets are telling people that everything will be okay. Chapter 14, verse 13. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword. Oh, no. Neither shall ye have famine. Oh, no. But I will give you assured peace in this place. Everything's going to be okay. No sword, no famine. You're going to have peace. Oh, remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Come on. You know the irony for the false prophets today? They tell us, oh, global warming is coming, global warming is coming. The earth is really heating up. You know what the irony is? In the tribulation period, it really is going to heat up. Be careful what you wish for. Revelation chapter 16, verse 8, 9, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Back in Jeremiah's day, they made human sacrifice in the Valley of Hinnom. God says, okay, I'm going to bury you right there in that valley. Today they say, oh, global warming, and they're going to get it. But remember, now he's talking to the whole people. He's talking to all the people. Jeremiah was told that this is exactly what the people wanted. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. Remember that one? Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. Where he says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Men would rather hear something that soothes their itching ears, even if it's false, than to hear something that makes their ears tingle, even if it's true. They so thoroughly reject God's word in favor of the lies of false prophets that God says, you are so hard, you're like a brittle bottle. When broken, is absolutely unrepairable and useless. The irony is that man thinks if he is hard, his usefulness is maximized. I need to be hard. I need to be strong. You know, we love to talk about that good old American self-reliance, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and this kind of thing. Perhaps that's been to our own detriment. The truth is, if a man is hard, he is brittle.
and breakable. And when broken, is useless. God would rather have us as soft clay. Because soft clay is pliable and moldable. We get to the point where we're hardened. It's too late. A hard object like a rock does not absorb anything, leaving it unmoldable and brittle and breakable. A soft object like clay soaks up the liquid, making it flexible and moldable into any shape. God knows your heart. Do you know your heart? How unfortunate that Jeremiah had to confront these people and say, your hearts are hard like this brittle bottle, and God is about to break you. Is your hard heart unyielding to the Word of God? Or is it soft? Able to soak up the truth and to see the effect of that truth on your life, to shape, to change, to mold, to make you into the image of Christ. We would think that as Christians, as believers, our hearts certainly wouldn't be hard. But the flesh can have some ill effects upon our lives. May all our hearts continually be soft enough to soak up this word. And where changes need to be made, may God be able to shape us with his hand. Pray that we might guard against hardened hearts that become brittle and useless to God. And pray for our nation. It seems to be getting more hardened all the time. For when we preach the truth, they don't hear it. When we show them what's right, they don't see it. When we teach them the way, the truth, and the life, they don't understand it. The United States is not in prophecy. We don't know when the nation will be broken as a brittle bottle, but apparently it will. But let us not be drawn into that hardness. Let us maintain a softness of heart that all our lives is moldable by the Word of God. With strength of conviction, don't misunderstand, to stand firm and unmovable upon the truth when confronted by those who would oppose us. But in the hand of God, always soft as clay, moldable to his will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word and warning. We do pray for our nation. We hope it's not too late. May there be a Josiah raised up in our day to give us time to continue to preach the truth. We know that you are long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. May we see some still come to that this day. But for us, Lord, there's still shaping to be done. Give us hearts that are true, honest, and soft, moldable to your will. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.